Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey there. Welcome. Okay, hang on.
That was fine.
I thought my original hey there was a little too hey there. So I'm going to let me do this again, okay? I'm going to be a little more hard-edged this time around, like I'm from the FBI.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, ready? Here we go.
Featuring Joe Sweeney from Thinking Sideways Podcast and filmmaker Vincent Caldoni. This is The Shocking Details.
Hi there. Welcome to another episode of The Shocking Details. I'm Joe, joined by
Vincent Caldoni,
as always. And, time for another interesting episode. This episode is about a couple of mysterious photographs that showed up just kind of out of the blue in far corners of the United States. And these photographs actually touched off kind of a storm of intrigue and speculation. And which is still bouncing around the internet today, even, and also in law enforcement as well. Yeah. So, and we're gonna talk about these two and whether they tie in together. Are they related? I don't know. So Vincent, you did a lot of research on this one. You wanna give us sort of a heads up on this stuff?
I do. Yeah. First, yeah. I want to give a big shout out to Austin.
Oh yeah, our intern, Austin.
Austin. Our researcher. He's not an intern. We don't have interns here.
Yeah.
He's a researcher, and he went out and did a bunch of deep dives into this stuff. I did as well, but thank you to Austin for that.
Yeah, thanks, Austin. You the man.
Let me set the story.
Okay.
It's 2021, and a woman in Washington State purchases a photo album at her local Goodwill thrift shop. She gets it home, and she opens it up and finds that this album, which she thought was empty, has just one photo inside it. And it's a doozy. We're going to put this up on our social media so you know, but it's pretty strange.
Yeah, it is. It's creepy, but... Yeah.
It is. It depicts two men. And one is laying face down in shallow water. His hands and his feet are bound with what looks like duct tape. He may be dead. You can't really see his face.
Yeah.
If he's not dead, he's in a bad place because he will need his strength.
He's close to it if somebody doesn't pull him out of there, frankly.
Exactly. Yeah. You won't be able to hold your neck above the water long enough before you drown. You'll see it if you look at it. Near him, seated in the same shallow body of water, is another man. Both these men are Caucasian, and he is similarly bound. He's just sitting in the water. And just off camera stands a person who's casting a shadow on the banks. This off-camera individual holds a long, slender object that I think pretty much looks like a rifle. It's hard to say.
It's hard to say what the hell it is, even if it's something. A gun at all. But to the right of him, there's an outline of something which appears to be an open car door, but you can't. I'm not really sure. It's a shadow of what appears to be a car door.
It looks like that. So obviously, this would have been taken in evening time.
Yeah, late afternoon. Yeah.
The individual whose shadow is cast appears to be in mid-stride, and he's walking toward the man in the water. It's a haunting, creepy photo.
It's a weird little photo. I have to agree.
I recommend you go look at it. We're going to put it on our websites and stuff. So the woman, she becomes obsessed with her newly acquired photo, and she wants to know if it maybe is evidence of a crime. Because here's the thing. If you chum the waters of the internet with a mystery this tasty, you'll be sure to attract some clever sharks.
Oh, yeah. Some mystery-hungry sharks. There's lots of them out there. Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. It actually wasn't that long before a name and a disappearance, which had largely been forgotten. I mean, it's kind of obscure.
From way back, yeah.
Yeah, and it never got much media attention in the day. Austin, our intern... He's our researcher. He's a part of the team. Austin, we love you, man.
Yeah.
Austin actually tried to go get newspaper archives and stuff about this, and there really was not much reporting back when this happened. But the internet connected it to the disappearance of a man who looks a strange amount like the guy in the photo.
Yeah.
And it is an odd and really frightening disappearance. And the man in that photo that they think is the man in the photo, I should say, is Theodore Malcolm Franks.
Yeah, Teddy Franks, otherwise, a.k.a. Eddie. Yeah, but what's the... Let's get back to our other photograph, though.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit better known, I would say.
I think quite a bit better known.
Yeah, this is the famous photograph of Tara Calico. Ooh, yeah, I remember her.
Photo of Tara Calico.
We don't know for sure that it was her, although I got to say it does look a lot like her.
We will talk about it. I will push back on that.
Well, no, it actually, to me, I've seen a lot of pictures of Tara, and there's a number of them out there. It looks much like her in some of those photographs and less like her in some other photographs.
Yeah. We'll get to that part, though, because I want to talk about that with you.
But let's get to her disappearance, though. These two disappearances actually happened fairly close together. I mean, about a year apart.
Time-wise. Year and change apart.
So Tara disappeared Tuesday, September 20th, 1988. And she lived in the town of Belen, New Mexico, about 20 miles south of Albuquerque. Left about 9:30 a.m. to go on her bike ride. She liked to go on a daily bike ride along State Road 47, which is kind of on the east side of the town, to the east of kind of semi-parallel to the Rio Grande, which runs north-south right there, by the way, in case you didn't know that in your geography class. It starts up in north, runs from Albuquerque south, and eventually gets to El Paso, and takes a left turn and head towards the Caribbean and forms the border. Yeah, anyway, but so that's 47. So she liked to ride her bike on that road and did it almost every morning. Sometimes her mother would go along with her. Her mother's name was Patty Dole. But Patty stopped riding with Tara because she felt that she had been stalked by somebody in a car, or was being stalked by somebody in a car. So she stopped the bicycling altogether and told Tara that she should think about carrying mace. Apparently, Tara was not really interested in doing that, which is weird. I mean, if this had been my mother. My mother would have been, I'm not riding with you, Joe, and you're not going out there. And if I said, I'm going to go out there, she would have said, okay, well, I'm going with you then. My mother was such a mother hen that there's no way that she would have let me be out there by myself. So this is a weird thing about this story.
I really don't want to criticize poor Patty Dole, who I believe has passed away.
I don't either. It's just strange. But anyway.
It does seem weird to be like, that ride is too creepy for me. We're being stalked by motorists. You can go, but
you're on your own, kid.
Yeah.
But anyway,
it is weird. I'm sure there was more to it than that, though.
Well, on the morning of Tara's disappearance, she told her mom to come and get her if she was not home by noon, because she had a date to play tennis with her boyfriend, apparently. And so, of course, Tara didn't return. That's the way these things always go. But Patty went searching for her along Highway 47.
People who go out for a bike ride and come back on time. It's not really something we cover on this podcast.
That doesn't really make the news, does it? Yeah, I know. So she goes searching for her along Highway 47, could not find a sign of her. So she calls the police, of course, and the police get out there and start searching. They did find some pieces of her Sony Walkman. I don't know if you remember those things. They held a cassette tape.
I remember them.
Yeah, they held a cassette tape, and they were a lot bigger than your iPod. And they only held one tape at a time. But that's what people use.
The other day, though.
I just thank God they didn't come out sooner, because there actually could have been a Sony Walkman in an 8-track version. Can you imagine the nightmare? Oh, my God. Okay. But they came out after the 8-track kind of went the way of the dodo. So that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. But still, there were pieces of it found along the highway. And Patty believed that she thought that maybe Tara dropped these things, like a little piece here, a little piece there, to kind of leave a little breadcrumb trail. Yeah. But the breadcrumb trail apparently didn't lead anywhere useful. Their police canvassed the area and found a few witnesses who say they saw Tara riding her bicycle. Tara and her bicycle have never been found. As far as the abduction itself, did somebody pull her into a van, perhaps, and her bicycle? Maybe there were no witnesses to that. And I don't know. I went out and did a little street viewing on this. It's not a totally unpopulated area, but it's not teeming with pedestrians or traffic either.
My understanding is that it was even a little more remote back in 88.
Oh, I'm sure it was. Yeah. I mean, we're talking
most of
several
the stuff you'll see out
decades,
there.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure it was a little lonelier back in those days. Some people did observe a light colored pickup truck, but so what? I don't know how.
So we don't need to get off on this whole tangent, but one of the people that they've suggested is a serial killer. I'm spacing on the guy's name, but it's not important. And he owned a 53 Ford. There was also another man who lived locally who owned a 53 Ford who may have actually been out there or not. And so this turned suspicion onto him.
Yeah.
To keep that in mind. Although, this 53 Ford turned out to be kind of a big deal, but it may not be anything.
Yeah, it may not be. And it's like, you know, this guy that was out driving around. I mean, you know, that is a road, and that's what roads are for, you know. So,
yeah, he may have had nothing to do with
it. He probably did have nothing to do with it. But
So, like I said, there was a resident who lived out there who owned a 53 Ford with a camper. Mm-hmm. It does seem likely to me that he was on that road. Same time as Tara, probably had nothing to do with anything.
Probably not, yeah. But anyway, so less than a year goes by, about maybe 8-9 months go by. So mm-hmm. June 15th, 1989, Polaroid photo was found. Remember Polaroid photos?
Probably. Oh, I remember and adore Polaroid photos.
They're fun. But anyway, this was found. It was showed a young woman and a boy that were gagged with black duct tape and bound, apparently. Well, you can't really tell because Tara, if it is Tara, her arms are kind of behind her back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's the only tape you can see in the photo is over their mouths. It's hard to say if the rest of them is bound at all. No, just to set the scene, the woman was going into the store. She parked and she saw a man in a white van.
Yeah.
A white windowless Toyota cargo van.
Yeah.
Outside of the store. He had a mustache. Think she found him kind of suspicious. That's kind of important.
Yeah,
a
mustache, of course. Yeah, although this is the 80s. A lot of guys had mustaches.
I don't know. Yeah. Guy with a mustache, windowless van.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder.
Snidely Whiplash, you know, he had a mustache.
He did. He didn't have a van, though. He didn't have a windowless van.
Yeah.
She goes in. She does whatever she's doing in the store. I don't know what she was buying, cigarettes or whatever. And she comes out, and the van is gone.
Yeah. But
left behind is this Polaroid photo that we're describing.
Yeah.
And I think that's important to set up.
Yeah. And also, by the way, it looks like if you look at the picture on the left-hand side, you can see what appears to be kind of a little bit of a door, like the edge of a door that you mm-hmm. might see on a van. And it appears to be kind of white in color. So, I mean, that picture mm-hmm. might have been taken inside that very van.
Web sleuths who are not necessarily websleuths.com, but just different web sleuths, sleuths who are on the web, have actually found the make and model they think it is.
Yeah.
And even have been able to show how people use this. You see plywood behind them. Mm-hmm. How people have used plywood inside the van and credibly shown that actually that picture probably was taken inside that van.
Mm. Oh, it was probably a Toyota then? Because, yeah, people have done that. I mean, you get plywood and 2x4s and stuff, and you build yourself a little platform to sleep on and stuff like that. Yeah. And you have yourself a nice little low-budget camper kind of vehicle. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, and that was actually really easy to do with that certain, I forget, make and model of Toyota cargo van. And people did pretty often.
Yeah.
So there's pretty good evidence that the van that's featured in the photo, though you can't see too much of it, actually was the van the woman saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That seems to be totally legit.
Yeah, it does appear to be. She actually called the police right away and reported the description of the van that she saw. The police set up roadblocks. This is in Florida. They set up roadblocks to try to see if they could intercept the van, but they had no luck. And so they never ID'd the van or the guy with the suspicious mustache. The picture was shown to Polaroid, the company. And they came back and said that the picture must have been taken after May 1989 because the particular film that was used in this picture was not available for sale to the public until May 89. So just, you know, the month before. It must be said, too, this may or may not have been Tara. I don't know. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
We're going to talk about that.
It did actually get a lot of airplay, given that this was pre-internet days. Mm-hmm. Even then, it became a pretty hot item. It made its way onto the TV show A Current Affair in July 89. And then Patty Dole was contacted by some friends who had seen the show. And they thought, from seeing the picture on the show, that this girl looked a lot like Patty's daughter, Tara. Mm-hmm.
Which she does.
You know, it kind of does, you know. And there was also a little boy in the picture. And there was another kid from New Mexico who had disappeared. His name was Michael Henley. He disappeared in April 1988. And this was kind of up in the hills. He disappeared on a camping trip. And so some relatives of him saw this same episode, and they thought that the boy was him as well. And so it's just sort of gone on from there. Patty Dole and Michael Henley's parents met with investigators. They had a good look at the picture. Patty Dole was convinced that it was her daughter. So, okay. By the way, there's a scar on the leg of the girl in the photo that, according to Patty, was identical to a scar that Tara had. mm-hmm. on her leg. So, okay, that's additional.
Well, she's also photographed with a paperback copy of V.C. Andrews' novel, My Sweet Audrina, which mm-hmm. was said to be one of Calico's favorite books. You can see it laying next to her.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Scotland Yard in England analyzed the photo, and they concluded that it was Tara Calico. But a second analysis by the Los Alamos National Laboratory disagreed. The FBI has claimed that it's inconclusive.
Yeah, that's weird. That's weird that Los Alamos got involved with this. it's not what I associate with them.
Yeah, Los Alamos is a little weird, but NASA often does this.
Yeah.
NASA will get involved. They have some pretty advanced technology for examining photo and video.
Oh, yeah, they would have to. You know, you take these remote photos of, you know, asteroids and planets and whatever. You got to try to figure out what you're looking at. Yeah.
Yep.
So definitely, they would be sophisticated in that regard.
So Henley's mother said that she was almost certain it was Michael in the Polaroid.
Mm-hmm.
The boy in the photograph, as Henley, is considered to be highly unlikely
to actually be him, right? Yeah.
Yeah, because his remains were discovered in 1990 in the Zuni Mountains, about 7 miles away from his family campsite where he had disappeared from, which is itself about 75 miles from where Tara Calico disappeared.
Yeah. So maybe her kidnapper went all the way up into the mountains where the family was camping and abducted the kid and did whatever and then took his body back, but I doubt it. It's horrible. The poor little kid wandered away and got lost in the woods.
It's so sad. He was, everything you can read about Michael Henley, he was a sweet little boy from a good family, and he wandered off of their campsite. No one knows why or how, and he got disoriented. And this is what the police say, and I think they're correct about this, that New Mexico, it's a hard place, man. It is hot in the day and cold at night.
Yep.
And they believe, I think very correctly, that he died of exposure.
Ah, it sucks.
Well, yeah, I know. It's actually really sad. So the boy in the photo is, I think.
No, it's not him.
Barring some crazy, crazy stuff, it's whoever that boy is. It sure isn't Michael Henley.
No, it's not. And we don't know for sure that it was Tara either. I mean, we don't even know that.
That is very much in doubt. And I'll be frank with you. I don't think it's Tara. We'll talk about it in a minute, but
I think it, I don't know. Like I said, in some pictures I've seen I see the resemblance. In others, it's not quite so strong. And we don't even know that it appears to be two people who've been bound and gagged and put in the back of a van, but it might have just been a prank too.
Let's talk about that in a second.
Let's talk about
the other photos first, and then I really want to get to the other ideas. What could it be happening?
Yeah, but then Tara's not quite done here, because in 2009. This is, years, way after the fact.
Yeah, 20 years after the original discovery.
So pictures of a boy were sent to the Port St. Joe police chief. This is a place where the original Polaroid was found in Florida.
Port St. Joe.
Yeah, so the police chief, David Barnes, gets two letters postmarked June 10th and August 10th, 2009, from Albuquerque. So one letter has a photo basically printed on on copy paper, so not a great photo, but it's a young boy. It's got brown hair, and this person had drawn a black band in ink on the photo with like a Sharpie or something. Mm-hmm. So I assume to make it to draw an association in the sheriff's mind of the boy in the van who had a piece of black duct tape plastered over his mouth. I assume that was the message there. And then there's a big resemblance between that photo and the kid in the Polaroid.
Yeah, if you look it up, if you Google it, it really does look like the boy in the van. I'm not initially sold on the idea that it was, but the resemblance is uncanny.
Yeah, and so somebody from Albuquerque sends this. This is what's this weirdness. Out of all the places across the country, it's Albuquerque. And then the second letter has an original image. I don't know if it was the same one, but without the Sharpie marking over the mouth.
Exactly.
Yeah. It has that. And then a local newspaper in Port St. Joe also received a letter, which was also from Albuquerque, and it had the same image. And again, the boy has a black marker drawing as been used to draw what appears to be a piece of black tape over the mouth. But this is kind of useless as far as information. It's like, well, what a tease, because there's no information as to who this little boy was.
Right.
You know, and so it's kind of really asked me just a tad rude to send this tantalizing information. Yeah, I don't know. It's probably just some sort of trolling kind of deal. You know what I'm saying? Sad as it is.
Seems like it.
They compared the boy in this photograph to the one that was in the original Polaroid that was found in the parking lot, and it's inconclusive. He might be, might not. They're not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't say. I mean, they're too Caucasian young men of about the same age with same color eyes and the same color hair.
Yeah.
I can't really say it's not the boy, but I think it could be a lot of boys.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's kind of like looking at all the Cooper suspects, you know, for T.B. Cooper, you know, maybe, but right, I kind of doubt it. But but unfortunately, there were three. So three of these letters, none of them had a return address. None of them had anything like a note indicating who this kid was.
Right, which is frustrating, right? Like, it's not like someone's writing and saying, I know who the boy in that photo is. He's this boy, and I know what happened to him. Even if they're not saying it, right? It doesn't contain anything. It's a picture. You're like, what do I do with this?
Yeah, so it may or may not have had something to do with the disappearance of Tara Calico. Maybe her abductor had abducted another boy and took a picture of him and then, you know, sent it off to these guys, you know, I don't know. Or more likely just some sort of prankster on the internet.
I'm going to not go too far into this so that we don't end up with something like libel. But yeah. If you're interested in these 2009 photos,
yeah,
people on their Reddits have a pretty credible theory about who sent this photo in and why.
Yeah.
And it basically comes down to somebody trying to elevate their profile as a psychic investigator.
Let's talk
about the psychic real quick.
Yeah, there. And this person, we're not going to name this person.
Nope.
No. But a psychic, or somebody at least claiming to be a psychic.
Yeah.
Who called about Tara Calico. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. You know my opinion about psychics.
Oh yeah. They're
used. visit the Lori McQuarrie
episode. Yeah, I know. But this was not Lori McQuarrie, by the way. But here's what's interesting about this psychic is that she didn't say she had a vision of Tara Calico or anybody. But she told police that she had met a runaway, a young runaway girl in California with whom she had worked in a strip club. And
it's pretty fascinating.
Yeah. So she didn't find her too. So why did she even advertise her? Because call police, say, hey, by the way, I'm a psychic and I met this runaway girl.
Psychic part wasn't totally necessary.
But. No, not really. So I'm not sure what the psychicness has to do with anything. But eventually she had met this runaway and the girl was actually murdered.
According to her.
Yeah. According to her. Psychic. Yeah. The girl was murdered. And she said she had dreams suggesting that this runaway may have been Tara Calico. So, okay.
Yeah.
And she also...
I've had some weird dreams myself, Joe.
Well, I have had some pretty random dreams, too. So, I mean, this is...
It makes me a psychic.
Not really. And then what else? She said that her dreams apparently indicated that this maybe Tara was buried in California, which narrows the search down hugely. And it's very helpful. I mean, hey.
Right. Okay. To a massive country. Or massive yeah. state. Basically, could be its own country.
Yeah. I mean, hey, that's... So they did some searches, and I don't know exactly. Maybe she had some more specific information than just California. I hope so. Apparently, there were some searches which did not turn up anything. As far as the photographs that were sent to the paper, they were given to the FBI for further investigation.
Came of it though, did it?
Yeah, they were looking for fingerprints, maybe DNA, and there's been nothing announced, so I'm assuming that whoever it was wore gloves and didn't leave fingerprints on the on the envelope or the photographs, and so that's kind of that.
So there's actually two other photos, and I don't want to dwell on this for too long because, frankly,
we're here to talk about Teddy Franks anyway. But the similarities between the two cases are kind of interesting,
there are some interesting similarities. Yeah. So these two other photos surface. I'll just be really quick. One is, I think, somewhat credible, and it's a blurry photo of a young woman's face with tape covering her mouth and a sort of light blue fabric part of a bed, I think, behind her. And people have said it's similar to the pillow in the Toyota van.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, similar is certainly true, but the same is a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also taken on film that was not available until after 1989. Mm. Some people think this could be Tara. Some people think it could be the same person as in the van, which also may be Tara. I don't think you can actually really get much out of that picture. It's so closely shot and so blurry. She's got a piece of fabric on her mouth.
I know. And this whole blue stripe fabric, I mean, that's kind of common on pillows, right? Blue stripes on white,
You're right. Yeah, it's a really common thing.
I just don't see any point in dwelling on that particular photograph. But there was another photograph too, though.
There's another photograph, and this one is, honestly, I'm just going to straight up tell you, I think this one's crap.
Oh, yeah.
The second one shows a woman who is loosely bound in gauze. What they make bandages out of, so not particularly strong stuff. Her eyes are covered with more gauze and then large black frame glasses. They're on a train. They're on an Amtrak train.
Yeah.
The male passenger is beside her and he's kind of seems to be restraining her. This was taken on film that was not used before February of 1990. Tara Calico's mother believed the first one was Tara, but thought the second one might have been a gag.
Mm.
And the reason I think that Patty Doyle thought this is because it really just looks like two people goofing around on a train.
Yeah, it kind of does. Yeah. And
it's really not.
The other one is like, you know, that's just wishful thinking or, you know, like clinging to the tiniest shred of hope or whatever, as far as Patty seeing a resemblance to Tara in that one. But
and the young woman in the second photo does look a little like Tara Calico, but it's clearly, I mean, I think really too clearly some people just having some fun on the train.
So that's it. Poor Tara has just vanished. And all these years have gone by. Her body has never surfaced. I mean, no. I assume somebody probably abducted her and buried her in the desert or something.
So I want to ask you, Joe, what do you think? Let's not worry so much about the second two photos, because I think the first one is a kind of a big meh.
Yeah.
And the third photo, I think, is almost certainly just nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
But what do you think of the photo that was found in Port St. Joe?
You know, it might
be. Do you think that's Tara?
I can't really tell. It looks like it could be her, but I wouldn't. I wouldn't bet money on it. And
I'm betting against it.
I also don't think it's necessarily even. It looks like two people who've been abducted and thrown in a van, two young people. But it's just as likely that it was a joke. Like maybe the guy with the mustache and his girlfriend and their kid. They decided to stage this photograph in the back there, take a picture and just drop it on the ground to see if they could cause a panic locally or something like that.
Maybe they didn't even mean to drop it on the ground. They just thought it was funny. It just seems like the kind of thing you do if you're on a road trip and you were just bored with your little brother.
Yeah, I know.
Like, let's make it look like they kidnapped us. Oh, yeah. We've been kidnapped. We have to go visit Grandma Jane.
Yeah, and it's not actually apparent that anybody's actually been tied up. I mean, can't see the girl's ankles and you can't even see her wrists. Her arms are behind her back. So they weren't necessarily even bound. Which
keep that in mind as we talk about Teddy Franks here in just a minute.
Yeah, and that's about it. I mean, the whole thing just doesn't really do it. Even if that was Tara, well, so what?
Does that mean?
It doesn't solve the story. So
not really. Now, I also, as someone who's kind of been interested in the Tara Calico case, one of the things about Tara Calico was that when she had her picture taken, when she was not missing, she tended to wear her hair down. And so you don't really get a look at her ears.
Yeah.
I was able to locate a picture of Tara where you see her ears. Ears? Mm. Next to fingerprints are some of the most identifiable parts of a human body.
They really are.
They don't change over time unless you have surgery or something to them. They're kind of immutable.
Yeah.
The woman in the car's ears are similar to Tara's, but they are not the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that, to me, even more than people said they have different noses, and that is true, and I think that actually is pretty damning, but even more than the nose, because the tape could have been distorting the way her nose was. If you actually, you can see in the picture in the van, you can see the girl's ears. And if you dig up that one photo that's kind of tough to find on the internet and you look at Tara Calico's ears, they're not exactly the same ears. Mm-hmm. I am really convinced that's not Tara Calico in the van.
Yeah. And so, I will buy that because, again, I've never been convinced it was her. And now that you've mentioned that really makes a hell of a lot of sense. Yeah. And ears are good. Ears are often overlooked, but you're right. They're very distinctive individual.
Next to fingerprints, they're really identifiable.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
You see that they have very different lobes and a very different structure within the ear. Not very different. Sorry. Very similar lobes and a different structure within the ear.
Yeah.
Is it so different that I would say definitely not the same woman? No, it could be, but I'm going to really say that I really believe that's not Tara.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's perfectly fine with me because, frankly, I've always had my doubts anyway. And,
there's a really good story about what actually happened to Tara. So let's,
I have heard this story. Yeah. And although this story sounds suspiciously like something out of a TV movie, but,
art imitates life.
Yeah.
Life imitates art.
Yeah. So the town of Belen is in Valencia County, New Mexico, that's where she disappeared, where Tara disappeared. And the sheriff in 2008 reported he got information that two teenagers at that time, had accidentally hit her with a truck. Apparently they were trying to harass her and they went a little too far, hit her, and apparently didn't kill her, but they didn't quite kill her, so they finished her off and hid the body. That's remarkably sociopathic, first of all, if that's what they did. Yeah,
you can say that, but I think also kids, young people have terrible impulse control.
Yeah.
And they sometimes, when faced with a stressful situation, make horrific decisions.
Well, it's one thing that if you run somebody down and they're dead, you might think, well, what the hell? Let's just hide the body. I get that. But they're not dead and you decide to finish them off? I mean, come on. That's pretty psycho.
I mean, I totally couldn't agree with you more. But yeah. Apparently these guys were not. There's a long-form podcast about Terra Calico out there. I'm sorry. I'd plug it, but I don't remember the name.
Yeah.
That's on me. But it is a really good podcast, and they interview some of the people. And these guys were not good dudes.
Yeah.
At least one of them was from a really influential local family. He seems like he was kind of one of those privileged rich kids who thinks he can get away with just about anything. I don't know if that's true or not.
But yeah.
That's kind of what's been alleged about him. That kind of makes more sense than that she was abducted and trafficked around the country or was a victim of a fictional serial killer, like all these other different things they've alleged.
Yeah, that is plausible. The problem I have with those stories like this is if you're out there and you just run her down and you might be wiser to just jump in your car and try and get the hell out of there instead of taking the extra time. Because the longer you're there on the scene loading her and her bicycle into your vehicle, that's the more time for somebody to witness you doing this. Again, what criminals do doesn't always make sense.
Yeah, criminals. You're saying criminals, but I don't think any of these people were what you would call career criminals.
No, they weren't. They were amateurs.
Just kids. Yeah. They were her age. They were in school. They didn't. They may have panicked and done something. Really didn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't know. This is interesting. I got to say Berlin is a small town.
Yeah,
I believe the latest census is still under like 8,000 people.
Yeah,
and rumors get started, and this rumor may or may not be true, and it may or may not have been started by somebody. Maybe the person who started this was a malicious little troll himself or herself. You know, I don't know. Or maybe this is all true. I don't know.
Yeah, I certainly, after having read about it, listened to that podcast about it, I'm pretty convinced that's what happened to Terra Calico, but it isn't set in stone.
They actually, the case is not dead. So Terra Calico, in October 2013, they established a task force to reinvestigate it. No arrests were made, unfortunately. But then in October 2019, the FBI announced a reward of up to like $20,000 for precise details. Lead to the identification or location of Terra Lee Talico and lead to the arrest and conviction of yada, yada, yada. But nothing has been heard about that since. And then 2021, actually just a couple of months ago, Sheriff's Office and New Mexico State Police issued a statement saying that they have a new lead in the case. So that's intriguing. You know, I don't know. I don't know anything about their new lead, but, so it's still alive. I mean, apparently. It's
still going.
I mean, but the case. But yeah.
No, not Terra.
No.
I do honestly believe that there may be a chance that this gets resolved in the future, that someone actually is arrested for the death of Terra Calico. And that would be good. I think your family deserves justice.
Yeah, but as for the photo itself, I do want to see whoever did this, and obviously somebody did something. I want to see them pay for it. But as for the photograph, I agree with you. It probably has nothing to do with it, and certainly doesn't help us solve the mystery. I don't think.
Yeah, exactly. Even if it is Terra, it doesn't really tell us what happened to her. But I think I just don't think it's Terra. I just really don't believe that.
Yeah, no. But back to the other photograph. And this is, again, we talked about it. It's an even creepier photograph. And the Terra Calico photo was a little creepy. A little bit.
Obviously, it's creepy enough to have inspired, 30 plus years of people's imagination.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And
I think rightly.
Yeah, but this one, if you've seen it, it's even creepier.
I really think so.
Yeah.
Happening in that photo.
Yeah, we mentioned this woman in Washington State who gets a photo album, finds inside it one photo, which she takes to the police, of two guys apparently bound and immersed in shallow water. Yeah, one face down, one seated. And then this somehow gets connected to Teddy Franks.
Theodore Malcolm Franks.
Yeah, Theodore Franks.
Before we talk about Teddy Franks, I think we need to take just a little quick commercial break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. So, Vincent, do you want to reveal any of your research on Teddy and his mysterious disappearance?
Yeah. So Teddy Franks was, he's only 19 years old, but he's already married. I think he's only married for about 6 months.
Yeah, he's already. When he disappeared, he was a month shy of his 20th birthday, and already like all caught up in a lousy marriage. I mean, holy crap, Teddy.
Sounds like it was a tough marriage.
Most of us take another 10 years before we get involved with a really horrible marriage. But yeah,
we're all dumb when we're 19.
He was precocious, I guess. I don't know.
I was as dumb as ice when I was 19.
God, me too.
So Teddy's got some issues with his wife. And they get in a fight. Mm. It's a pretty big fight. And he kind of, I think what happened, this is according to his family, so take this with a grain of salt, he kind of told her off.
Yeah.
She was known to be jealous and controlling. And he kind of read her the riot act. I don't know what was said. I don't think anyone knows what was said. Penny probably does, his wife. But
the details of this particular story are pretty scant and
they're really hard to track down. And the reason for this is that this was not a major news story in its time.
Yeah.
And while the photograph that we talked about at the beginning of the episode has reignited it, there's not a lot of sources to draw on.
No, not really. Like people on the internet forums and stuff. A few, like there was one guy out there who posted some stuff about it.
Yeah. And there's facts that contradict. Austin and I have really been running around each other in circles, trying to get this into one coherent story and timeline.
Yeah. And so this, and like, for example, some of the stuff about Teddy's wife was put up there by a guy claiming to be Teddy's nephew. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I'm not saying the guy is not his nephew, and I'm not saying he's lied about anything, but I'm just saying, I'm not 100% sure. I wouldn't swear to any of some of the stuff that he says about the wife and her two brothers. I don't know. That may not be exactly fair. May not be true. So
just take everything we say about Teddy Franks and his disappearance with a little bit of a grain of salt.
Yeah.
We do know Teddy Franks was a real man, and we do know that he disappeared under some odd circumstances.
Yeah.
But in terms of who caused him to go missing, this is, we're doing the best we can with what information we have.
Yeah.
And it's scant and it's conflicting.
Yeah.
So basically we've got Teddy. He's been in a fight with his wife. I think this is pretty much established. We don't know every little detail about it.
Yeah.
So on Labor Day weekend or September 16th, depending on who you talk to.
Yeah.
There are conflicting accounts.
Yeah. Some say that this disappearance took place in May of 89.
I'm pretty sure that was not what happened.
Yeah. But it sounds like it was September, I think, too. But
I think it was September. Yeah. I'm going to go with the sheriff's department on this. They say it was September.
Okay. I'm buying that.
I don't know who said it was May, but that goes around.
Yeah.
So Teddy's been in this fight. He leaves his house and he goes to his sister Renee's apartment. He connects up with her, says he's had a really bad fight with his wife and he needed to get away. He didn't have his car.
Mm.
Apparently the wife had the car. I'm not really totally sure about all those details worked out.
Yeah.
But he wanted to go get some cigarettes. And so Renee took him to the Citgo gas station on Jackson Lane.
Yeah. There's if you're looking for it at it's actually at the intersection of Jackson Lane and Roosevelt Boulevard
not there anymore.
Well, there's another gas station there. It's not called the Citgo anymore, but there's a gas station and convenience store there at the same spot. So, you can sort of get a look at the vicinity of where this occurred.
Yeah.
Of course, it doesn't look the same as it looked in 1989, I'm sure. But
86. Yeah. But yeah, so they pull into the parking lot, and this is where things get weird. This is all according to Renea. They pull in, and before she can even put the car in park, another car is pulling into parking lot, and Teddy flips out. He goes into a full panic, and he jumps out of the car before it's even fully stopped. That part comes from a woman named Michelle Lowry, who is his other sister, and he's recounting what Renea told her. I believe, and I'm sorry, Renea, if you're out there to say this about you, but I think she might have passed. Because I cannot find any contemporary.
Well, Yeah.
Sources about Renea.
I saw. Well, you've probably seen the same thing. I mean, there was like one of the local news stations there covered this after the photograph turned up.
Mm-hmm. And most of it comes from that.
And they interviewed two of his sisters, Michelle and Jody, who actually appeared on camera. And Renee did not show up on camera at all. So I'm not sure what's going on with that. If she has passed or just didn't want to talk to the two reporters or what.
You got me. Yeah. I'd really love to hear a first-person account from Renea.
Yeah.
I think she's not out there anymore. And so this is where it gets kind of confusing. So the story gets a little hazy at this point, but Teddy runs out of the car. It's been said that he ran into the store, but my understanding is that he never actually went into the store.
Yeah, I heard he ran around the back of the store.
Right.
Yeah.
It's hard to say exactly where he went, but I don't think he went into the store. Witnesses later saw him being chased by two unidentified men down the road.
Yeah.
I believe this would have been Roosevelt,
not
the other street, whatever that is.
Jackson.
Jackson, yeah. I think he's running down Roosevelt Avenue or whatever that is.
I think that was where Teddy made his major mistake. If he was being pursued, is like running down Roosevelt where he could be seen instead of like when you go behind that store, there's a small, an older retail mall that I'm pretty sure was there in 1986. And he could have run around that. There was an apartment complex just to the east. He could have gotten lost in that. So if instead he just ran out onto Roosevelt and ran down the road, it's like, dude, you know, hey, if you want to play hide and go seek, you know, you don't go out to the street to do it. You go to the places where there's hidey holes.
I also get the impulse to be like, if guys are trying to run you down and do some damage to you.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing you want is to let them chase you into an area where that's there aren't
private. I know. Yeah, that's true too.
I mean, I see it both ways, Joe, but I do understand the impulse to be like, I want to stay out where everyone's going to see this.
Yeah, that's a good.
Roosevelt is the bigger street. So that's, I think, where he wanted to go.
Definitely the high traffic. Yeah, no, maybe he felt like he would be more likely to run past a police car, you know, which would be handy. Yeah.
Or someone who can call and help him out, or that even if they start putting a beating on him, at least, you know, maybe a motorist would stop and help him out or call the cops or something.
But it does seem like Teddy was legitimately panicked because he left his wallet and other stuff in his sister's car. Yeah, he left it all in there. Yeah.
Yeah, and Renea, at least according to Teddy's relatives, Renea felt that he was acting strange and paranoid and that he may have been aware that people were after him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And who, again, by the way, there could have been other people besides his crazy wife, you know. We don't know. Yeah.
So, yeah, he left all of his belongings in the car. There's been no movement on anything, any of his information, social security, bank activity, anything like that. It's just all dead. Teddy goes totally off the map that day.
Yeah.
So there's no evidence that that anyone stole his identity. And then, of course, that he was using it for anything. So
yeah.
I think we can rule out the theory that Teddy ran off to start a new life, maybe because he was unhappy in his marriage. I don't think that happened.
Although, you know, we can rule that out. Teddy actually was 19. His sister said that he was behaving bizarrely. So he wasn't just a little anxious or something like that. She said she used the word, I believe, bizarre.
Yeah.
And Teddy, at the age of 19, that's typically when things like schizophrenia, rear their ugly heads. You know, maybe Teddy actually just came down with a sudden onset schizophrenia. That's not actually a term, by the way. But maybe that's what it was. And who knows? Maybe he ran off and wound up living homeless on the streets, you know, after that. I don't know. But
I'd say there's an outside chance that happened. So I'd say there's an outside chance that happened, but what I would also maybe put out there is that even if you're schizophrenic, even if you're having psychotic episodes, at some point someone's going to ask you your name. That's how you get access to services. You know, so yes, it is possible that he's living a life so isolated from society that he is not even getting things like food stamps or spending nights in shelters.
It would seem likely that somebody would have figured out who he was and tracked down his family just to let them know, if nothing else. You know, it does. It does seem like that.
Well, and for what it's worth, the family hired a private investigator to try to look for Teddy after this incident happened. So I just want to disambiguate a few things. You may look out there and say that Renee saw the two men chasing him.
That's not actually a given, though. I don't
believe that's what happened.
It looks like she saw him just run around to the back of the store or something, and that's the last time she ever saw him. from what I've heard.
I'm fairly certain that there were other people who saw these men. Yeah. And that comes up as a question in the case later that we'll address. Just remember, I'm pretty sure, not 100%, but I'm pretty sure that it was not Renea that saw Teddy being chased by two men. It was a different person who didn't know Teddy from Adam.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so the PI, in addition to trying to find any, you know, evidence of him using, you know, his bank account or whatever.
Yeah.
Also used something that is only described as an underwater camera thing. That means in 1986 terms, search nearby bodies of water, which appears to mean that at least the PI thought that there was some chance that he had ended up in a lake or a river or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Accidentally or, you know, foul play. He never renewed his driver's license or anything like that. No trail at all, which would indicate to me that he probably did get disappeared and killed or died or something. Yeah.
But I think there's, you can speculate and I can speculate as well, but I think the likelihood when somebody just blips off the grid like that.
Yeah.
There's just no trace at any point.
Yeah.
1 minute you have a fully plugged in member of society. The next minute he is not around. His bank account goes untouched. He doesn't take any of his things with him. You know, because remember when Teddy disappeared, it wasn't like he, you know, went on a trip and then disappeared on the trip. He had nothing. He didn't have his wallet and his keys.
I know. And so.
So that to me says probably this poor man ended up dead.
Probably.
I also want to connect that the PI believed in this searching the water thing long before the photo that they think is Teddy came up. So it seems like the PI may have heard something from someone about him being in a body of water. Remember the man in the photo that the internet seems to believe is Teddy is seated in a body of water.
Yeah, he is. And I assume the PI probably interviewed friends and acquaintances and coworkers of Teddy.
So I think at this point we do have to talk about Penny's family.
Although I want to, we should probably stress that what little we know about her is not too much. So, you know,
I honestly know next to nothing about Penny.
Yeah.
The only thing I know is that someone claiming to be a relative of Teddy's said that she was jealous and controlling.
Yeah.
And that may well be true, but I certainly couldn't, you know, independently verify this. This is just a poster on the internet. It does seem from what I can gather though, that while I know nothing about her family did not have the greatest reputation around Middletown, Ohio. Her brothers did have criminal records. They were known to law enforcement is another way I've seen it, it put up. So I do think there's a shred of credibility in this rando interneter's post in that I don't think these were great guys. Now that's really stretching it thin.
I want to stress to our listeners, by the way, that, you know, this is what, you know, this is, that doesn't mean they actually murdered Teddy or anything like that. Nope. You know, it does not, you know,
no, it really
I'm just,
doesn't.
I'm really reluctant to, you know, accuse anybody of anything based on just something that somebody said on Web Sleuths. But, you know,
fair enough. And I actually would not, you know, in the whatever philosophical or academic or legal sense of the word, accuse anybody of this because I don't know what happened.
Yeah, it's not clear.
I do think that the allegations that randos on the internet are leveling against the brothers and Penny have some eerie things that back them up, but that's as far as you can take it.
Yeah, and I don't know. The thing about it is, too, is I'm not sure exactly what the state of the marriage was, but...
Well, they'd only been married for about 6 months. So
yeah, I don't
really
know.
Wasn't much of a state of the marriage.
I don't know. Would you say if your sister was married to somebody and they had a fight, would you go murder her husband? You know,
that's a good point.
Because it's like, supposedly she loves the guy, even if they're a little bit on the outs for the moment. You know, but it's really a bit of a head scratcher why they would do that. I could think of some other things. I mean, the family, all they know about Teddy and anything that's negative is going on is maybe they don't like the wife and they think the brothers are maybe psycho or something like that. But that's about it. But maybe Teddy was into some other things. You know, maybe Teddy was into a big drug thing and had been fronted a pound of cocaine by some big higher up in the local drug trade and then lost it or it got stolen and Teddy just couldn't pay back the money he owed, so Teddy was made an example of. You know, I mean,
That's an interesting thing that you brought up, Jim, because this has been alleged on the internet.
I bet it has. It seems kind of obvious, actually.
However, there is some suspicion that this was not done in good faith. Mm. What I will say, and I looked into this, is that contemporary sources go out of their way to say that Teddy had no arrest record of any kind and was not known to be into any drugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm just saying
possible,
that that's
he just decided he was like, hey, maybe I'll break into the exciting world of selling cocaine.
Yeah.
And then screwed it up and got run down by Colombians. But it doesn't seem like what Teddy was about. He had a good job.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about it is even if you have a good job, it's if you, especially at age 19, if you're presented with an opportunity to make some easy money, then, you know, you might take it.
He could have made somebody else mad other than the Mosley family.
Oh, yeah. That's all I'm saying is there might have been other people out there with a motive to do violence to Teddy besides the Mosley.
I do think while I find some of the accusations against the Mosley brothers to be credible based on the circumstance of the story, I do think you'd be, especially if you're law enforcement, but even if you're just a, you know, armchair detective, you'd be foolish to get tunnel vision.
Yeah. So I think there's other possibilities again, like, you know, that Teddy was into something else, you know, and you know, not so we shouldn't be too harsh just based on something that Teddy's nephew said about his wife and her brothers. We should be too hard on them probably.
No, it we could, shouldn't. Although I do really want to point out that one of the things I specifically set a researcher on was to try to find anything about Penny Mosley.
Yeah.
And not only could we not find anything, but she is conspicuously absent from contemporary news reports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So your husband goes missing, right? You're basically a newlywed. You've been married for 6 months. You have a little fight. You have an argument. He leaves the house and he goes totally missing.
Yeah.
His mom, his sister, his dad, they're going on TV. They're in the local paper and you don't appear anywhere.
Well, I don't believe
that's a little odd. I find that odd.
It is odd. Yeah. I mean, well, maybe Penny didn't exist. Maybe Teddy wasn't married. I mean, you know.
Okay, that's true. I didn't make poor Austin dig through marriage records. I'm just going to trust the local paper of record in Middletown that they did at least cursory research and that he actually did have a wife.
Oh, he did. He did for sure.
I'm pretty sure. They talked about it. But just so we're clear, Joe, I didn't make Austin go dig up marriage records, but it was reported at the time. I'm going to trust him.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not saying Austin is all wrong or anything. I'm just saying there's conflicting information all over the place. And it may be that this was misreported and that perhaps he wasn't actually married, but you know, again, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he was.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's fine. Yeah. So anyway, but back to this photograph. So years go by.
The photo from Washington State.
Yeah. So this is pretty recent that this photograph turned up actually. And
we're on the vanguard of the story. There may be updates about the story.
Yeah, it's very recent. And so she opens this photo album she bought at Goodwill and notices there's a photo in there.
Just one.
And what's interesting about this too is, you know, you don't know that I'm kind of thinking that somebody put the photograph, just went into Goodwill and just sort of slid that photograph in there, you know, for some nefarious reason.
Why would they do that?
I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, but at the same time, if I've murdered somebody, for example, and taken a photograph of it, am I going to put that in a photo album?
That's weird.
Am I going to do that?
The exact same thought as you.
Am I going to do that?
And if I was going to give away my photo album, I was going to donate my book.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be the photo you would be the most meticulous about removing if for some reason you put your murder photo in an album?
Well,
wouldn't you be really sure to get it out of the album if you wanted to get rid of the album?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, you know, the next thing, I don't think I would mix in my murder photos with like the family photos. I don't think I would do that. Yeah. I think I would have a separate photo album. And maybe that's the reason there was only one photo in that photo album is like, you know, that was his first and only murder that he put in, and then for some reason he went off to prison or maybe he got killed or something like that. And so it's so sad that his family, you know, just disposing of his stuff, his effects, they just glance at the album and it appears to have nothing in it. They don't, you know, thoroughly look through it. It appears to have nothing in it. So it goes into the Goodwill pile and, so maybe that's what happened. I don't know. But,
I mean, there's all kinds of questions, like
all kinds of possibilities there.
Photo of your murder in an album. Was it a whole murder album? It's really odd. And then how did it end up in Washington?
I think there's a lot of questions. It might be that this guy had been watching Dexter and he thought, I'm gonna keep a record of just like Dexter does, of every one of my murders. And this was just the first one. Like I said, he was an incompetent boob and got arrested and sent off to prison before he could, do any more murders. I don't know. How the photograph wound up there with this woman in Washington is just, it's a head scratcher. I don't know.
And there may be a good explanation, right? Like maybe the killer then moved to Washington State after.
Or it is possible that that person in the photograph isn't Teddy, and that's a possibility as well.
I think that is actually very possible. I will say that it is a very striking resemblance.
Yeah.
And also, the family has confirmed not just that they think it looks like Teddy, but that those are clothes that Teddy owned.
And so, yeah, it could very well be, but it's not a given. But that it was him to me. And how it winds up in Washington? Oh, Christ, I don't know. I mean, if it truly was Teddy, all I can think of is that whoever took that photograph maybe was on a trip to Washington and they just took it to a Goodwill and just left it there for the sheer freaking hell of it. I mean, I don't know why you'd do that, but then again, if I was committing murder, I don't know why I would take a picture of it either. Unless, of course, maybe getting back to the drug thing, if you've been sent to whack Teddy and his friend who had been fronted a pound of cocaine and then lost it. and it's not conclusive that they're dead. I mean, Teddy isn't, if that's Teddy actually sitting there, he's not quite dead yet. The guy laying down in the water may be dead. I don't know. But you can't see his face.
That's true.
So you don't know. You can't really go back to your boss and say, look, we got Teddy and Frank. And then they'd be like, is that really, truly Frank? I can't see his face, And then they have you. Well,
that's a good point.
It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So
one thing a lot of people think is that this is actually a photograph of a movie.
Yeah.
Even a movie that is being projected.
Yeah. It almost looks like that. It's because the quality is so low. It looks like it does look kind of like somebody took a picture of an image that's being projected on a screen. Yeah,
it does actually. Yeah, exactly. And it does seem like it could be like some like horror movie scenario. Now, that said, people have made a real earnest effort to track the movie down. And no one's connected it to a scene in any movie of any kind, low budget or whatever. I guess it's possible it's something that was never released.
It could have been
someone independent. Yeah.
It could have been not a low budget. It could have been a no budget, basically a home movie. I mean, people actually, I'm sure, make those things. You probably made a few yourself where it's just
tons
done. You and your friends get together and just make a really cheesy, crappy little 30-minute movie or something like that. And it never sees the light of day, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's some footage of me acting in films in the early 2000s that my buddies put on that were pretty disastrous. But yeah, the less said about that, the better. But yeah, if you ever see a photo of me being choked to death, trust me, I'm alive and well. It would be a still from an amazing movie by a guy named Sean White. But it does kind of have that look to it. So, but the fact that it's never been connected back with any even really obscure film, it gets no reverse image searches.
Yeah.
I've seen it even posted actually to cinephile Reddits or whatever. Like, anyone think this looks like a movie,
Yeah.
And nothing seems to come up.
Yeah. And so,
and for what it's worth, the police actually seem to have taken it very seriously.
Yeah. I mean, it does look like a crime is being committed. I mean, if nothing else, assuming that this isn't staged as a movie kind of thing, it looks like these two people, it looks like that one guy might possibly be dead, the guy that's lying face down in the water. If he's not dead, he's in a bad way, man.
If someone doesn't help him real soon, he's going to drown.
Yeah, and it looks like
he might already be dead.
Yeah, it looks like the guy who's sitting up is also not going to be alive too much longer either. Unless, of course, the whole thing was taken as a prank or as part of some weird little home movie kind of dealio or something.
So comparing
it though,
to Terra Calico, right?
Yeah.
The idea that like, I'm stuck in this van with my brother driving across country to see our grandma. This sucks. We've been kidnapped. Let's put some tape on our mouth and take a Polaroid to be funny.
Yeah, totally.
That actually plays. I could really see that happening. I can see myself or some friends of mine doing that as kids. This is a little, it's a little darker.
Yeah, it is definitely darker. Although I could see a similar thing though. You know, you take a weird little picture like this and that looks like somebody's being murdered, and then just go to the Goodwill and slide it into a photo album and ha, 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 ha. You know, it's a nice little troll, right? You know, and maybe that's it.
35 years later and slide it into a photo album.
Well, no, not 35 years later though. I mean, you're doing something that you don't even know who Teddy is. This person in there just coincidentally looks kind of like Teddy, and that's, you know, so anyway, it could be something like that, maybe. I don't know, but
it could be. I think that's possible. I would say the likelihood of that being the case is lower in the case of this photo than it is in the case of the alleged Tara Calico photo.
Mm-hmm.
That's my personal opinion. Your mileage may vary.
Yeah. No, I'm right up there with, I just don't know, but it is unique. It's really weird. Like I say, there's no, it doesn't come from any movie that we know of. And I can't imagine somebody making a horror movie that where they would actually have an image like this. I don't know, if I'm going to actually go out and do serial killing, I'm probably not going to tie people up and put them in, like, you know, 18 inches of water.
It's kind of a weird scenario.
It's a weird little scenario. It's kind of weird. And certainly it's not something I would picture for like a horror movie or something like that, or a mystery movie.
And another big question I have is, if, just for example, we go with the story that a lot of people on the internet are embracing right now, that it was the Mosley brothers. Who's the other guy?
Yeah, that's true. Who's the other guy, and why has he been offed? Yeah.
Teddy crossed some line with their sister.
Mm-hmm.
She said he's got to go. He's a bad husband, whatever. And they're the kind of violent psychos who would do that. Who's the other guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question.
Somebody's in that water with him. When the first image I saw, I couldn't actually even swear it was a person.
Mm-hmm.
Austin tracked down a higher resolution image, and it's definitely a man.
That is a very, very good question. I mean, that doesn't make sense either. And like I said, it doesn't really make sense that they would murder him.
That's hard to believe, but if they were just total psychos, maybe they did. But then who's the other guy?
Yeah, I know why. I mean, I don't know. I could speculate it would be highly irresponsible to do so. You know, so I'm not going to do that. But
in some ways, I think it's also maybe indicative that if this is a genuine photo of a genuine crime taking place, it may not be Teddy Franks.
Yeah,
it may not look a whole lot like Teddy Franks.
Yeah.
Some people have posted pictures of Teddy on his shortly after his wedding, or I think even on his wedding day, and his sideburns are styled like that man's. His hair is about the same length.
Yeah.
Like I said, the family said those look like clothes that Teddy has owned.
Yeah.
So it sure does. It looks like Teddy to me, but it may not be Teddy. That picture may be genuine. It may be a crime happening, but the internet may have glommed onto the wrong missing man.
That's entirely plausible.
Maybe
it's a photograph taken by a friend of Teddy's who's helping Teddy fake his own murder and death so he can get away from his overbearing wife. I don't know. But
yeah, that's very elaborate.
But it's very elaborate too, but and also the way he goes about it. Well, okay, now we're gonna get in the bus and go all the way to Washington to hide this in a photo album in a Goodwill store.
we get Tara Calico's unmarked van.
Yeah.
And go all the way to Washington.
Yeah, exactly.
To spike them 35 years later.
Yeah. Maybe they put copies of this photograph in albums in every Goodwill across America.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Maybe they did. And everybody else just opened it up. The picture fell out and they just picked it up and chucked it. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. But,
all right. Well, so, Joe, I think this has gotten silly enough. I think we better sign off.
Yeah, anyway, yeah. So this is one of those little intriguing things that both Tara and Teddy, these photographs might actually, the photograph in Tara's case isn't going to solve it. In this case, I doubt it will, but who knows? I mean, Teddy is still an ongoing thing. So who knows? We'll see. Yeah, what do we do? We don't really know anything about Teddy except that he did get in a fight with his wife or girlfriend or whatever. He did go to the sit-go. He did see a car pull in and panic and run.
Mm-hmm. And he's
getting back to my schizophrenia thing. I mean, maybe his panicking and running had actually nothing to do with this car pulling in.
Maybe.
You know,
I'm not really
I don't know.
Buying that theory, Joe.
No, I'm not either. But anyway. But I mean, the fact that this other car pulls in and Teddy gets out of the car and runs, his sister made the logical inference that he was panicking over this other car pulling in and the people that were in it.
Nothing to do with that car.
But maybe it didn't have to do with that particular car. You know, I don't know. I mean,
I do think it's pretty obvious that something spooked Teddy.
Well, here's the interesting thing too, is one of the things that her sister says, or his sister said, is that he jumps out of the car without his wallet or anything and runs off and runs around apparently either into or around to the back of the store. Mm-hmm. She didn't actually say that she saw anybody get out of that car and take off chasing after him.
Right. This is why I'm pretty sure, and it's really tough because there's been some bad reporting on this, but why I'm pretty sure that it was not Renea who saw the two men chasing him. One, because I'm pretty sure Renea would have been able to identify if it was the two brothers.
Yeah.
Would have went out of her way to say it was not the two brothers.
Yeah.
I don't think she saw anyone chasing Teddy.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with you that that car may be just a total red herring. It may have just been a car and something else spooked Teddy.
Yeah, exactly. And as far as, and again, if anybody was chasing him, it couldn't have been the people in that car, I don't think, because again, Renea didn't see them get out of the car and take off after him. Nope. So I don't know.
It's a big mystery, but here's the thing. There may be updates on this. The attention on this is actually higher than it has ever been, even in 1986. So we may be coming back to you with an update on Teddy Franks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we might. Yeah. And also, of course, D.B. Cooper. Yeah, but anyway, but I think we are actually out of time for this week.
We are so out of time.
Yeah, we are totally out of time. So so enough about these guys, about Tara and Teddy. Until next week, you know, and all that stuff. Oh, and also, of course, you know, the usual stuff. Please leave us a rating and a review wherever you're getting this podcast from. We beg you. A good rating, a good review. Also, stay tuned for some vital information on finding us through social media and also our email address.
Yeah, be part of our online community.
That's absolutely really cool. Absolutely. And I don't know, what have I left out?
I think that's everything.
Okay, I think so too. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, so till next week, toodaloo, everybody.
The Shocking Details can be found at www.theshockingdetails.com. We're on Twitter at Shocking Details. For discussion of episodes and more, our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/shockingdetailspodcast/. Or you can email us at theshockingdetailspodcast@gmail.com. And if you like the podcast, please consider giving us a like and a positive review and letting people know about us.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards. Save-